And the sustainer of good relations. Our first reading this morning is from Psalms 25, 1 through 10. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Yea, let none that wait for thee be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day long. Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and thy steadfast love, for thou have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Thank you. you guys get to sing right after that.
Now we sing.
Right, get to sing the first verse of Jesus Loves Me as I write the children for me. Least expecting it, we can let God in. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these children and all of the world's children as they learn more about you and understand how big you are, and yet you're right here with us. Give them peace and joy and laughter. Amen. Okay, it looks like Anita might be your person of choice today. Anita! Hey, Anita, we did labyrinths today.
We had a labyrinth.
Our prayer group has actually gone to the Labyrinth that holds Rosary. That was a lot of years ago, but we did go over there. Didn't we go to another one?
On Moose Street?
The Benedictine Center? Yeah, that, whatever it's called. Yeah.
The
Cave Center, yep. That's the one that's out of grass.
There's one over at Forest Hill.
Yeah, and there's Forest Hill. So there's three in this immediate area. Once the snow leaves, you might want to check them out. They're very fun. Okay, now is our time of joys and concerns. Anybody have any joys or concerns? You're concernless? No, I was going to say.
I'm here asking for prayers for my son Jeff in Houston. You all know he was flooded. FEMA came in while he was at work, and they had to take off all of this molding all around the house, cut all of the base or the whatever drywall up a foot and a half and take out the insulation. When they did it, they cut the plumbing pipes and flooded his house. So here we are back at square one. So prayers for Jeff so he doesn't lose his mind over all of his problems.
All right. We'll definitely keep Jeff in our prayers. We'll send it over there so I don't have to walk.
Steps.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing up snakes again.
Yeah.
Prayers for a co-worker of mine who starts chemo and radiation this week for esophageal cancer.
First name?
Craig.
Craig. All right. Muriel, good to see you.
I'm the prayer because they think I have cancer on my head.
Oh, my.
Because.
Oh, yeah, they took a biopsy. All right, well, we will keep you in our prayers, Muriel, that that's a cancer they can easily help you with. All right, other joys or concerns? We obviously need to be with all of the people who are in Parkland, Florida, their families, those who have lost loved ones, all of those children who have lived through this trauma, and for our country to figure out how to stop this. I can't remember what the figure is already this year, how many people have died and how many gun incidents like this have happened, and it's only the middle of February. So we need to keep our country in our prayers that and our elected officials that they really address this issue. Anything else? In our prayers, all who are traveling today, as they go through the snow. No, I'm right. Thank goodness. So, yes, it was a beautiful weekend. I'm very happy for that.
This was a concern all week, but it turned out to be a joy. Last night, Sandy Popham and I did the book Across the Bay. We skied across Shawamigan Bay, 6 miles in the dark with ice candles. I only fell once because I decided to look at the stars. And it was lovely. We had a wonderful time. So
that's all I enjoy.
And we're not sore.
Well, yeah.
Maybe.
Let us be in a time of silent prayer. spoken and unspoken. Because our lives are full of details, of deadlines, so much to be done and so little time in which to do it all, we find these few moments to savor the beauty of the world, to contemplate your greatness and the wonders of our lives. We enter this time that is the timeless realm of your mystery, which surrounds us, and we can only enter in silence. As we begin this journey through Lent, Lord, help us to make more time for study and more time for silence, that we may hear your voice in our lives. Open us to hear the words of Jesus in new ways, as they were new to those who first heard them. Challenge us and renew us in this holy season, so that we may be worthy to be your children. We ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, for all who suffer and are ill these days. Touch them with your peace. And help us to be arms of compassion, strength, and hope. We ask for your peace for all who mourn. May we all have comfort in knowing that you have prepared a place for all who have lived as your children. And Lord, build a road in the deserts of our hearts, a road of worship and thanksgiving, and guide us in our journey of faith in this and every season of our lives, that we might be ever closer to you and to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray the prayer he taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You now to rise as you're able as we sing our next hymn that is from the morning book.
Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
So we are starting our journey into Lent, and the annual observance of the Lenten disciplines among Christians is a time of self-restoration for our lives. It's a time to reflect, to take stock of our spiritual condition, and realign ourselves and our lives with God. Our method for taking stock is, of course, our baptism as our reference point and making good use of the means of grace. I'm going to read to you a different version, Matthew 4, 1-11, from the Message, about Jesus going out into the wilderness. Because we, as we're starting Lent, we're going into rehab. You all need to go into rehab. I need to go into rehab. So here we go. If those of you who were here on Wednesday, you know that we started by admitting we were human. Our mortality, that we have a finite time on this earth, and what we are called to do as Christians is to figure out how to best live our lives wholly and abundantly, as Jesus calls us. And the second step is to admit you have a problem, right? And that's our time in the wilderness. So hear these words from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. "Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. 'Since you are the Son, God's Son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread.' Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, 'It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth.' For the second test, the devil took Jesus to the holy city. He sat him on top of the temple and said, 'Since you are God's Son, jump.' The devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. 'He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so you won't so much as stub a toe on the stone.' Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy, 'Don't you dare test the Lord your God.' For the third test, the devil took Jesus to the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they were. Then he said, 'They're all yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours.' Jesus' refusal was curt. 'Beat it, Satan!' He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. 'Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness.' The test was over. The devil left, and in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs." So, the next step in our rehabilitation is to go out into the wilderness as Jesus did and admit that we have some issues. There's many kinds of rehab, as you know. Most of us have had physical ailments that we've gone into rehab for. Shoulders, knees, hips, whatever. There's cardiac rehabilitation. But then we have personal rehab needs, spiritually as well. From broken relationships to learning about taking care of ourselves as worthy children of God and everything in between. And as a society and faith community, we know there are also lots of kinds of rehabs needed. How about the rehab of all of those kids who watched their friends die in a hail of bullets? loss of a job or moving to a new community or moving into retirement, so they are having a whole different life. The only thing that seems clear about the rehabilitative needs that we have today is that both as individuals and as humans, we need to begin our rehab by following Jesus into the wilderness. So what is the wilderness that we're talking about here? We suggest that the wilderness represents those times in our lives when we begin to face head-on our own brokenness. We admit we've fallen, and we can't get up on our own. We admit we lost our way. We admit that we are facing trials and temptations that we don't want to face. We admit that we have come face to face with evil. We admit we cannot manage on our own, and we need help. We need our Savior. For some of us, the wilderness is temporary. For others, it's part of their whole lives. But whether it's temporary or your whole life, and it seems to be permanent, we experience it in the same way. Being in the wilderness is a time of testing. When we talk about the wilderness, we start out like the kids. We start out with things that are scary. There's the trees, and there's the bears, and there's snakes. And the desert has nothing in it. There's no water, there's no shade, there's nothing, and it's all a place of desperation. But wilderness also speaks to periods of us when we're unsettled, lost, wandering, not knowing exactly where we're going. And that can be our tests. Maybe like a probationary period. But in all of those times, there comes also the other part. The peace that you feel as you walk with no one around you. The ability to feel like you're seeing God in the trees or the cactus or wherever you are. The wilderness is a time that can bring healing. But we have to start out by entering it, by entering our rehab. And going inside and saying, okay, this is where I need to improve in my faith life to live the whole and abundant life Jesus calls us to live. In the wilderness, there aren't any orchards. Water isn't easily available. Food is limited. In the wilderness, you might have to change your diet. You might have self-imposed limits. And in rehab, there are activities that you cannot do. If you're an alcoholic, you can't go to bars. If you're a drug addict, you can't be around other users. Entering rehab and entering this wilderness involves a radical departure from what your life is right now. The creature comforts, the habits, everything. And when we do that, and in rehab, if you're successful, then the small changes you start to make in this wilderness, okay, I will call this person I haven't talked to in 2 years. Okay, I will try to heal the breach with my mother. Okay, I will start taking care of myself. They can become permanent lifestyle changes. And the good news about the story of Jesus in the wilderness is the knowledge that whatever sort of wilderness challenge you face, and you should not pick a ton of them because you're not trying to set yourself up for failure. This is a time of introspection and key and focus as in a labyrinth on a few things. You don't ever have to face it alone. That's the wonder of being part of a faith community. That's the wonder of being a child of God. That scripture tells us that Jesus went ahead of us and did the temptations. He resisted them to make an easier path through our troubles or detour around them. Jesus understands our temptation to bury our feelings, to hide our hurts, to seek the truth, and seek the path of least resistance. He understands because he has been there himself. He has been there and persevered. And so our time in the wilderness is not a time where we have to be alone. It is not a time where we have to feel beaten up. It's not a time to just say, oh, I'm a bad person. It's a time to say, living a pretty good life, what can I do better? Where is it I'm falling short of living a whole existence? And is there a way to do it better, to feel better, to move on? Maybe it's that you have been locked in your own mind for so long that your wilderness adventure is going out, going to chum dinner on Tuesday, doing something that you don't normally do. And maybe it's just, it's going to the Pines this afternoon with Sally to sit there and sing with the residents there who need love and companionship. There are so many ways to be in the wilderness. But it's admitting there is something we need to fix within ourselves and working through them as we go through this rehab. So are you ready? Let us pray. Lord God, sometimes we just don't know what you want of us. Sometimes we resist knowing what you want of us. And sometimes it's hard to look inside because we know we haven't been living the way we need to as followers of Jesus. And yet, we also know there is always hope. There is always a way through because Jesus has been there before us. And that we never walk alone because the Holy Spirit walks next to us. And we have the people of our faith community who also walk with us. Help us, Lord, to see we are in a safe place so that we can feel comfortable to look within us and become better people. In your name.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot.
Sunday. So if you are interested in either of those studies, you need to let us know today. The Sunday study, we're going to do a little differently. I emailed you, which you probably didn't get this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to combine, and we're just going to have three sessions. So next Sunday, the 11th of March, and then the 25th of March. So that gives us time to read the first couple of chapters for next Sunday. But if you would like to come on Tuesday for soup and study, please let us know today so we can make appropriate plans. Also, newsletter deadline is Thursday. They seem to come so quickly. They just seem to be there all the time, yeah. Get your stuff in by Thursday. What else? What else is coming up? We will be welcoming new members next week. And if you're someone who's going to be coming in, don't forget you have to write your little paragraph for me. Let's see. Who needs to make an announcement? Oh!
My bag is empty. We need goodies for downstairs. Please take a container and fill it and bring it in and put it in the freezer. If you don't take one today, these will be on top of the freezer empty. Take one when you can, fill it and put it in the freezer. We have very little there. Next week we'll be having cake, but the following week we need something in the freezer. Okay? Thank you.
All right.
Sadly, all of those announcements are fake news. None of them matter. What matters is Tuesday is chum dinner. I need someone here at 2:30 in the morning while we start cooking. If not 2:30, then my 10:30 should be good. I'm not going to parboil my potatoes. And I need to
be raw.
Ooh, there's a challenge.
Any day, let's go. Anyway, I also need one or two people to help go down and serve. Serving people leave here typically at 4, then they come back to support 4:30. There's a little bit of cleanup. We are doing ham. We are doing a raisin cranberry chutney with a little bit of Catholic appropriate alcohol in the sauce. We are doing green beans and scalloped potatoes that we're not going to parboil. And we also need some dessert. So I need a little dessert, one more person in the kitchen, and two or three people to help serving and delivering all of that stuff.
Okay, so let me see if I can just,
tell the truth.
Do a recap. So we need people to make desserts and get them here by Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
We need desserts. We need one person to be here at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday to help in the kitchen. By the way, the kitchen sink is fixed, for all of you who know what happened last week. And then we need two or three people who are going to be able to help come here by 4 so that we can leave by 4:30 to go down to Chum and serve and come back and do a little cleanup.
And he's not going to
parboil. And he's not going to parboil potatoes. So let's be clear on that. Okay, thank you. Sally, try to top that.
Okay, cover up your ears.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't had a chance to sign one of the little blue squares for the back of Lori's quilt, the stuff is all back in the Matheson room. Come here on your way out today and sign one of those squares.
And the pasty bake is coming up, and we have order forms back here. And if you want to look at the sign-in sheet to help us work, that'd be great. Thanks. And if you have any questions about the pasty bake and what we do, the new process that we started last year worked really well. So we're going to be looking at that again this year.
And you have places that people can sit and work, right?
Yes.
So they don't have to stand the whole time. Okay. Other announcements. Here, Fred. I see you turning my way.
Okay, the last announcement is we need some help cleaning off shelves in the kitchen.
No, we don't.
I'm just announcing.
Oh, okay.
This says we do. Plumbing issue has been solved. We don't have to take all the stuff off of the pantry shelves.
All right. There's also the Chum annual meeting is big parking lot problem if we get 6 to 6 or 8 inches of snow. So be very careful when you come here and park, especially if you're one of the first people. Look where the poles are and be there either in front or in back of the pole. The pole should not go down the middle of your car. Otherwise, you take up two rows of parking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially it looks like on Tuesday that there's 30 things going on here. Anyway, but yeah, with the snow, we're going to start losing completely our back row, so we need to be aware of that. Anything else?
What is that SWA?
SWA is Southwest Advantage. It is a company that trains college workers to go out and sell their stuff every summer. We researched them enough to know that it wasn't bad stuff they were selling, but yeah, they are here a lot in the spring. Any other announcements, questions? Is this our question and answer period?
No more snake talk.
No more snake talk? That was a good one. All right. Can I invite you to rise as you're able and join in our final hymn, which is "It Is Well With My Soul."
Thank you.
I hope it is well with your soul. Go forth into this day with hope, with the knowledge you never walk alone, with no fear, so you may face the wilderness that life brings. Go forth in love. Amen.
Choose. Yeah, because that's why I always say,
yeah, it's Kim.